Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're... Drum roll, please.
Is this doing the drum? Is this bad? Is it bad in their ears? We're a year old!
Happy 1 year anniversary, Song Salad.
And happy 1 year and a listener-iversary to all of you. Did you like the special intro that Scott made?
Should we keep it? No.
I don't know. I like our dinky one.
I mean, this one's pretty epic.
This is very epic. It was very, I feel like it, in light of Oscar season, it was very Oscar-y.
Right.
But it is our special 1 year anniversary episode. And by special, I mean we did a special beginning.
Hashtag song salad so white.
Aw, we are so white. In case you haven't guessed by now. So congratulations to us.
This episode is going to be an all self-congratulating episode where we just take time out of our episode to regale ourselves with our accomplishments, triumphs, struggles, and prevalences over those struggles.
Petty grudges we have won.
Tweets we have not gotten responses to.
Yeah, so many.
Maybe there isn't a lot to celebrate.
I know. You know what? I am honestly really proud of us just for sticking with it.
Yeah.
For like really pretty much a weekly basis.
Pretty much.
A year. Which is like, I don't know. Some people, this is like their job and they're out there like, you don't know what it's like. But no, but like, but this is like our spare time thing. This is like our for funsies hangout time thing.
It's hard to do anything once a week consistently.
Yes, it is. I'm like thinking of things I do once a week.
This.
Laundry. No, not even laundry. I fill out my time card once a week.
Oh, yeah.
Every Monday morning, I fill out my time card.
How long does that take?
Depends on what kind of a crazy week I had the week before. No, it just depends on...
Wow, look at my week. I was crazy.
I sit down at my desk and I start typing. I'm like, wow, what a crazy week I had. Woo! It's like 9 a.m. on a Monday.
Well, I look back at this year and I think, oh, wow, what a crazy year of song salads we had.
We did kind of have a crazy year. Like, you got married.
I got married.
I got engaged.
You got engaged.
I had bed bugs.
You had bed bugs twice. I cut my finger real bad.
Yeah, you did. I do remember you cut your finger real bad.
Got a bunch of stitches. What else happened this year?
I like this. I like figuring out, like, how, you know, like, where we were a year ago, how far we've come.
I spent a month in Chicago.
You did spend a month in Chicago. I took a lot of business trips to New Jersey.
You did.
So that was awesome.
I opened my fifth Broadway show.
I opened a lot of junk mail. Oh, we saw that snake eat that fish.
We did see that snake eat that fish.
That was honestly like kind of a highlight for me.
I saw a seagull eat a rat.
Oh, really? In Chicago?
Venice.
Oh, in Venice.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's gross.
That is gross.
What an epic year 2016 was.
I got plantar fasciitis.
I put hooks under my spice shelves so I could hang measuring spoons.
That's so convenient.
Yeah. All right.
Is that it? Is that our whole year?
And through it all, You were there, listener.
Yeah.
You were there, hanging on our every word.
Through the mundanity, the inanity.
The mediocrity.
The quotidian dramas of our lives.
And we're here to bring you yet another year of salads. Random topics plus random musical genres to form random songs.
Well, the songs are very purposeful.
Right.
Should we get our music genre for our 1 year anniversary jubilee episode, Diamond Spectacular?
Let's do it. And let's not forget what our very first episode's genre was. Electro.
Electro.
Jurong the Mortibund.
Jurong the Mortibund.
With the dead language Jurong and Electro was our pilot episode. This week, we'll spin the salad spinner to find our genre. And our salad spinner this week comes from Nubia Torres.
Nubia, who's better than Nubia.
And this week she suggests, rap a Mariah Carey song.
Oh, I think I was, have I been saying her Twitter handle is
Nubia? Oh, you said
Nubia
87, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. It's definitely Nubia 81.
Ugh.
Oh, I'm an asshole. Nubia is better than Nubia, and she's definitely better than Mebia. Sorry, Nubia.
At Nubia 81 wants us to rap a Mariah Carey song.
Okay.
You want to go or do you want me to go?
I'll go if you give me a beat.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to laugh for Christmas. This is just something I need to care about. The presents underneath the Christmas tree. And, something about mistletoe?
What? This week?
Bluegrass!
Bluegrass.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right, you're already being super stereotypical.
Listen,
and reductive of bluegrass.
You know that I just get excited whenever we get a genre that we're white enough to execute. Like, that makes me happy. It's a form of American roots music. And it, wait, okay, Wikipedia, hold on. This is the first sentence. Bluegrass music is a form of American roots music, comma, and is kind of like country music.
That's okay.
What?
Okay.
We
got to do better than that.
And is kind of like country music.
Ugh.
Influenced by the music of Appalachia, bluegrass has mixed roots in Irish.
You mean Appalachia?
Appalachia.
Okay.
Bluegrass has mixed roots in Irish, Scottish, and English traditional music, and was also later influenced by the music of African Americans through incorporation of jazz elements.
Settlers from Britain and Ireland arrived in Appalachia during the 18th century and brought with them the musical traditions of their homelands. These traditions consisted primarily of English and Scottish ballads, which were essentially unaccompanied narrative, and dance music such as Irish reels, which were accompanied by a fiddle. Many older bluegrass songs come directly from the British Isles. Several Appalachian bluegrass ballads, such as Pretty Sorrow, Barbara Allen, Cuckoo Bird, and House Carpenter, come from England and preserve the English ballad tradition both melodically and lyrically. Others, such as The Two Sisters, also come from England, however the lyrics are about Ireland. Great.
Cool. Super helpful.
Some bluegrass fiddle songs popular in Appalachia, such as Leather Breeches and Pretty Polly, have Scottish roots. The dance tune Cumberland Gap may be derived from the tune that accompanies the Scottish ballad Bonnie George Campbell.
The Scottish ballad, huh?
Did I say that?
Mm-hmm.
The Scottish ballad Bonnie George Campbell. Other songs have different names in different places. Great. For instance, in England, there's an old ballad known as A Brisk Young Sailor Courted Me, but exactly the same song in North American bluegrass is known as I Wish My Baby Was Born.
That's a weird kind of thematic gap there.
Yeah.
Okay. In bluegrass, as in some forms of jazz, one or more instruments each takes its turn playing the melody and improvising around it while the others perform accompaniment. So do that, Scott.
I'll do that.
This is in contrast to old-time music. Is that really a thing? It's hyperlinked.
I'm going to click it.
In which all instruments play the melody together. Oh,
yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
Old-time music is a genre of North American folk music developed along with square dancing, clogging, buck dancing.
Buck dancing.
Centering on combination of fiddle and plucked string instruments, most often guitar and banjo. So basically it sounds like Yeah. It sounds like in bluegrass, instruments will, you know, like you said, take turns playing the melody and improvise. But in old time music, either one instrument plays the melody throughout with accompaniment from the instruments, or they all play the melody together. Bluegrass instruments include the fiddle, five-string banjo, guitar, mandolin, and upright bass.
Mandolin, that's fun.
Often are joined by the resonator guitar or steel guitar, or dobro are the words for it. Occasionally harmonica or jaw harp as well.
Jaw harps are those things that look like they're like kind of big metal U-shaped things with
little like tines.
Tines, and you like go like you pluck them in your mouth.
Yeah.
They're so I had one when I was little.
So did I.
Vocal harmony is a distinguishing bluegrass characteristic. 2, 3, or 4 parts, often with a dissonant or modal sound in the highest voice. So what does that mean exactly?
So a modal sound is a specific type of a scale. There are different modes that are basically if you take a major scale and you start on a different note of it, that's going to give you a mode. So the different modes are, let's see if I can remember them. Ionian, Dorian,
Phrygian, yes,
Lydian, Mixolydian, Aeolian, and Locrian.
I love Aeolian.
Yeah.
Especially like dipping fries in it.
Oof. Woof.
Oh, come on. That was such a you joke.
So I'd say the the most common modes used in bluegrass are Dorian and Mixolydian, which are starting on the second or the fifth note and going up from there.
How, you just like made that up?
No, I know. I just know that.
Oh. You were like, I would say that they're just this thing. Okay, okay.
So, bluegrass music. Should we get a topic?
Should we get an example?
Should we get an example?
Yeah, let's get an example.
Okay. Our example is
Sitting on Top of the World
by Doc Watson. But this recording is the New England Bluegrass Band.
It's the New England Bluegrass Band.
It's
in the spring, one sunny day, good girl left me, she went away. Now she's gone, and I don't worry, I'm sitting on top of the world. She called me Dallas and El Paso, said, come on daddy, will I need you so? Now she's gone, and I don't worry, I'm sitting on top of the world.
Topic. All right. Now I need to think of a different Mariah Carey song.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess I need to do like your beat.
Do my beat.
Boots, cats, boots, cats, boots, cats, boots, cats, right.
Woo, woo, woo. Woo, woo, woo. Woo, 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 woo. That was her doing her famous falsetto.
Her whistle tone?
Her whistle tone, yeah. But woo, rapping it.
Woo woo.
Woo woo woo.
Woo 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 woo. Woo, woo, woo. I hope you're happy at Nubia 81. Spanish ship San Agustin.
Well,
Agustin.
In Spanish, San Agustin.
Agustin. I do the Catalan
Agustín. Then Agustín.
Then Agustín. I do the
Hank Azaria, yes, in the birdcage.
Wait, what's his character's name? Damn it. It's so funny. It's like Balthazar Rex or something. It's not Balthazar.
Agador Spartacus.
There you go. Balthazar Rex is pretty good. Right?
Agador Spartacus, Balthazar Rex. Sure.
Come on.
Pretty good.
I'm pretty proud of my brain for making up that particular
random association.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Anyway, yes. If Agador Spartacus is reading this, San Agustin. Din.
Din.
Din. The San Agustin was a 74-gun ship of the line. I don't know what that means.
That's a lot of guns.
Ship of the line, built at the Royal Shipyard at Guanito, Santander, and launched in 1768. Oh my God. She was captured by Portugal in 1776, but returned the following year.
Who was?
The ship.
Why is it she?
Ships are always
but
she.
Why? I hate that. Ugh. Just call it it.
That's, I don't know.
Gender is a construct.
Gender is
What if the ship identifies as a man?
You will never know because it cannot talk.
Keep going.
In January 1780, during the American War of... What?
We're going to hear that.
Well, don't put all your bags of trash under my feet.
That's sheet what music and honeymoon memorabilia.
Oh, trash. In January 1780, during the American...
We've been doing this for a year and we have not gotten better at it.
I know. Isn't it amazing? I admire our persistence in mediocrity. In January 1780, during the American War of Independence... You don't see that often.
Yeah, that's not a phrase you see much.
It's usually just Revolutionary War. American War of Independence.
Well, maybe that's what it's called in Spain.
I mean, maybe, but like we're not on Spain Wikipedia.
Spanish history.
Weird. Anyway, she was part of a squadron of 11 of the line under command of Admiral Don Juan de Langara.
Don Juan.
Left on patrol off Cape St. Vincent to intercept an expected British convoy for Gibraltar. But when the British fleet under Sir George Rodney appeared, it greatly outnumbered the Spanish squadron with 18 ships of the line. We need to look up what ship of the line means.
I'm ready.
The result was the Battle of Cape St. Vincent in 1780 off the stormy, dark cliffs of Cape Santa Maria through the afternoon and evening of January 16th, 1780. Six Spanish ships of the line were captured and destroyed. The San Agustin and San Gennaro were the only Spanish ships of the line to escape unscathed.
Oh, it survived.
During the Napoleonic Wars, she fought in the Battle of Algeciras? In the Battle of Trafalgar. In 1805. I just sound like an idiot, didn't I?
It was wrecked in 1805, October 22nd. Oh. Doesn't say how. It says it was wrecked.
Maybe it was the Battle of Trafalgar in October 22nd? Yep.
It was wrecked in the Battle of Trafalgar.
Okay, cool.
So Ship of the Line.
Yeah.
Was a type of naval warship constructed from the 17th through the mid-19th century to take part in the naval tactic known as the line of battle, in which two columns of opposing warships would maneuver to bring the greatest weight of broadside firepower to bear.
Oh, so it's the thing you always see in in Russell Crowe movies where they line up all the ships next to each other and just fire at each other. Because mm-hmm. that was war for a while, is people and... machinery just lined up and then just shot the shit out of each other.
That famous scene you see in every Russell Crowe rom-com.
When has Russell Crowe been in a rom-com?
Oh, come on.
No.
He's definitely been in a rom-com.
Russell Crowe is way too broody to be in a rom-com. See, look, the first thing that comes up when you type Russell Crowe R is Russell Crowe Roman movie.
2006, A Good Year. Starring Russell Crowe.
Who's heard of this?
It's got 6.9 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yeah, and a 47 on Metascore.
A British investment broker inherits his uncle's chateau and vineyard in Provence, where he spent much of his childhood. He discovers a new laid-back lifestyle as he tries to renovate the estate to be sold. Ships line up and shoot the shit out of each other in his vineyard in Provence.
See? Okay, no. Ridley Scott directed it. It's not a rom-com.
It's a rom-com.
I'm calling bullshit on this. If Russell Crowe isn't wearing a tri-corner hat, I don't want to see the movie.
I agree with that. Anyway.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Ship of the Line.
That's all we need to know.
Yeah. So it was a ship that was designed to line up and just shoot other ships and take fire from
other
ships.
And this one had 74 guns. So if you think that's like a standard number of guns, cannons, for the ship to have, and there were 11 of them on the Spanish squadron... That's a lot of cannons.
Yes, but keep in mind, you can only shoot out of one side of the ship if you're lined up. So it would be half that amount of cannons. Right? So there would be 37 cannons on each side. Mm. I mean, that's still a lot of cannons.
Still a lot of cannons.
But I don't know, but how big are these ships? The biggest one was 76.15 meters. Oh, here. It was 240, basically 250 feet by 70 feet.
It's big.
That's pretty big.
It says it held 530 officers and men on it. It's a lot of people on one boat.
I mean, but we've been on cruises, boo. Like,
this was way before cruises.
Yeah, but like what I'm saying is like, if you want to see a lot of people on one boat.
But a much smaller boat than a cruise ship.
Yeah.
And no plumbing.
Yeah.
And cannons and scurvy.
No mojitos.
No mojitos. No bingo.
Why would you even get on that boat? No mojitos, no bingo. No mojitos, no bingo, no go-go. Is what I always say.
No mojitos, no bingo, no go-go.
Thank you, Agador. Balthazar Rex.
That's what one guy said as he was being forced onto the San Agustin.
Yeah, probably because he was like an impressed soldier.
I'm impressed. Yeah. It's a nice ship. The nice boat there. But no mojitos, no go-go.
We can't just make fun of Catalonian accents the whole time.
We're doing a character now.
Is it Castilian or Catalonian that uses the S?
I don't know.
You're the one who studied Spanish.
Yeah, but I studied regular Spanish. I didn't study the weird accents of Spain.
All right, hold on. I'm gonna.
I think it's Castilian.
Castilian. Yes, Castilian. These include the pronunciation of C-I-C-E-S-T-H.
Huh. So. We need to write a bluegrass song.
A bluegrass.
A bluegrass song. About the San Agustin.
New year, still bad people. Go figure. Yes.
Oh, boy.
Great.
Here we go.
Actually, let's do our U-turn.
Oh, yeah.
It's our last U-turn. It is our last U-turn.
For now.
Yeah, until we decide that we need more money. This U-turn has a kind of a funny story behind it. It's for your wife.
It's for my wife.
Oh, gross. Scott's wife found $10.
In the lobby of our building.
And she very generously gave it to us. For a U-turn, and she had a special request for this U-turn, though.
Mm-hmm. It's a very practical U-turn.
Yes, she is a performer.
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of times when an audition gets so packed with people that they try to speed the process along by having the auditioners sing only 8 bars of a song.
Which is like not a lot of bars, if you don't know what a bar of a song is.
It equates to about 15 seconds, usually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to try to show your complete package as a singer and an actor in 15 seconds. And usually that means singing a weird 8-bar chunk of a song that has no real beginning, middle, or end.
Because this might surprise you, but most people don't write songs in 15-second chunks like we do.
Right. We tend to have a little experience in that realm.
Yeah.
So Megan requested that we write her an 8-bar song that she could use at auditions if they ask her to sing that short of a piece.
That has a beginning, a middle, and an end, a range of emotions.
And a soprano vocal range and a little bit of comedy in it.
Yeah, so just check all the boxes.
Right.
In 15 seconds.
So here's our special guest this week, my wife, Megan, now Wasserman, nay Glogauer.
Megan, now Wasserman, nay Glogauer.
Yeah.
It's very long. Her passport is like 8 extra pages.
Singing her new audition cut.
Called How Fortunate Am I?
I've never been in love until you just walked by. And now But you don't even care. Your heart's gone cold and dark. I'll never love again. I fucking hate this park.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Just gorgeous. I'd cast
hired.
It. Yes. Hired. Booked it. Booked and blessed.
Oh no, is that the new hashtag, the new MT hashtag?
Oh, that's
booked
a thing.
And blessed.
Booked and
oh,
blessed.
Oh no. Yes. Ugh.
Like, I got no money, but honey, I'm booked and blessed.
Ugh. Bless you, musical theater community.
Hopefully Megan will be booked and blessed next time she goes into audition and uses that song.
Like, if she did use that song, even if they were like, haha, no, it would...
At least it happened.
Yeah, it would truly make my life. So thank you, Megan, for singing it for us for our 1 year anniversary. And thank you also for finding $10.
Thank you, stranger, for dropping that $10 and contributing it to this podcast.
Yes.
Your money was well spent.
It was probably the drug dealers that sit outside your apartment.
Yep. Drug money used for Utahns.
Small, untraceable bills. Thanks.
Very laundered.
Yeah.
Shall we get back to some bluegrass about the San Agustin?
Yes. Let's get back to some bluegrass. I have some things to say.
What do you want to say?
I would like to say, okay, first of all, I remembered that I made a reference in last week's song that I didn't talk about.
The
Kekeret
Nisut.
Yeah.
Yes. What was the reference?
The last line of the Kekeret Nisut song was heart like a feather.
Yeah.
Kekeret Nisut. Do you know what heart like a feather refers to?
No, I just thought you were being uber poetic.
Well, I mean, like, obviously I was, but when you, in Egyptian culture or in Egyptian religion, when you die, your heart is weighed against a feather, and that's the test of whether or not you get into the afterlife.
Oh, wow. I never knew that.
Yeah. And I can tell you...
Is that like saying that your heart is unburdened, basically?
Yeah, I think like sin, basically like sin makes your heart heavy, and like bad deeds make your heart heavy.
I like that.
So here's like the real deal about it.
Deep
the
cuts.
Heart of the individual was weighed against the feather representing the goddess of truth, Ma'at, in a judgment process overseen by Osiris, the lord of the underworld. The judgment was a frequent subject for funerary art, especially on papyri and coffins. So, like, this was something, a scene that would be depicted often as someone's heart being weighed against a feather.
Is the plural of papyrus papyri?
Papyri, yeah.
Papyri or papyri?
I think it's papyri, but maybe it's
never knew
papyri.
That. Also, I like that the goddess of truth is named Ma'at.
Ma'at.
And it's almost like what if her name was really just Mat, and then she accidentally like coughed a little bit the first time she revealed herself to man. My name is Ma'at, the goddess of truth.
What if her name was just Matt? Just
hey,
Matt.
I'm Matt. I'm just the goddess Matt. Of truth.
I'm Matt. I like the Red Sox a lot. Wear my cargo shorts.
You don't know about them yet, but you will.
Yeah,
you will.
Don't worry. It's just Matt. 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 What's up, at. Matt?
Matt. At.
There's some brewskis with Matt.
Yo, you writing on papyri? Hey, Ryan. You writing on papyri?
Let me get some of that papyri. What's Matt from Boston? I don't know.
I don't know. Ancient Boston.
Ancient Boston. Anyway,
well,
that was
thus ends our self-congratulatory delve into Shannon's lyrical prowess.
Happy
1 year anniversary.
I meant to mention it last week, and I didn't, want to let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then bluegrass. I did also find some things about bluegrass, which I will talk about for San Agustin. And you know that this information is legit because it comes from a website whose background picture is a JPEG of corn kernels. So definitely into that like deep Southern culture. Mm. I was basically just looking for the structure of a bluegrass song. And what I found was the verse consists of four vocal lines of 16 measures.
Okay.
And the first and the third lines have the same melody.
Okay.
And then the verse will go into the chorus without extra measures in between the verse and the chorus. So I guess like just straight in, no musical breaks. And harmonies would then be added. And then very often, the last two lines of the chorus have the same melody as the last two lines of the verse.
Oh, cool.
Not saying we have to stick to it. The article does go on to say that this, you know, there's like lots and lots of variation of blues songs.
That's
or
a
bluegrass
nice
songs.
Structure, though.
Yeah. So I was going to try to stick to that structure. We'll see what happens when I actually start writing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, so that's structural, all very well and good. But what about themes? And I found a couple of things I would like to read to you.
Oh, boy.
Is
this more fan fiction?
It is not more fan fiction, but it is all. But it is very good. Okay, so the first thing
I
found... I
was riding the San Agustin from Spain when I stumbled upon a mandolin.
So this is from the New World Encyclopedia, which it says, research begins here. Never seen it before. I don't know. And it kind of like comes down a little bit on country music here. So this article on bluegrass music in the New World Encyclopedia says that unlike country music's preoccupation with cheating, alcohol abuse, and other negative stereotypes of rural life,
bluegrass... I'm assuming that means like modern country music?
I guess so.
Like that Carrie Underwood like took a baseball bat to his headlights song.
Yeah. Took a baseball bat to his headlights song. That is the title of that song. It's funny enough. Bluegrass stresses family integrity, the sacredness of the home, especially for those living in exile from their roots, and often reverence for God, although these themes are not unknown in other country music.
That's interesting.
So this is in stark contrast to, I found a forum called banjohangout.org.
Yes.
Where... So a guy named Paddle Faster has asked the forum for the top five themes in bluegrass vocal songs.
All right.
There are a lot of very good answers.
Okay.
The old home,
mm-hmm.
cabin, hills, pine trees.
That makes sense.
This is Chucky 97, by the way.
Thanks,
important
Chucky.
To know. Yeah. Chucky 97 says, LGW, love gone wrong.
I guess it happens often enough that they need to shorten it to LGW.
Did not know there was an acronym for that. Mother and Dad.
Okay.
Murder.
Oh.
Dot, 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 hyphen. A cheating lover or because of rejected proposal.
Ooh.
So not quite steering away from that unsavory reputation that country music has.
Apparently not.
And then this one's my favorite. Trains. Rex, not running anymore. Legendary fast trains.
So are you thinking that we'll write this as a legendary fast ship?
How did
song?
You know?
How I love
did
it.
You
I love
know?
It.
Yeah. So that's definitely where I want to go with this. A couple other themes I think are worth mentioning is Mad Celt 2004 said, if the woman isn't dead by the end of the song, it ain't bluegrass.
Two people like that post.
Another one said, death, your own, the afterlife, moonshine, old homesteads or cabins, pointless murder of a woman, and betrayal of or by a woman.
Okay. Well.
So I'm going with the train thing.
Yeah, go with the train thing.
Rather than pointless murder of a woman. Romanticized in song.
Why was that woman standing in front of the San Agustin? Pointlessly
Maybe
murdered.
A woman pointlessly murdered by a train. That is like the ultimate bluegrass song in the old homestead.
The world might cave in on
As
itself.
As your mother and dad looked on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Meta.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to go something about fast ship.
Fast ship, San Agustin.
Yes. And I'm going to try to stick to that structure.
Cool.
And we'll do like a verse and then a chorus and then maybe repeat the chorus.
Great.
Simple.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, my bluegrass band is going to have guitar, banjo, mandolin, and bass, and then some percussion that will sound like it's just like, sort of, found object percussion, like
a jug.
Maybe I could find a jug sound.
Can you do
sound.
A jug?
I'm trying to find a jug sound. Jug. I was thinking more like washboard.
Yeah,
or just
like
you know, like tapping the side of the guitar.
Yeah, yeah,
to,
yeah.
Like, the hollow body of the guitar to give a percussive quality. But there's no one actually like playing the drums. Like that's you don't find that in bluegrass really.
Sure.
So that's my plan. And then vocals, including harmony, as you mentioned. The harmony joining in on the chorus. So
there's also a lot of stuff about the vocal quality of bluegrass music, which mm-hmm. tends to be kind of reedy and nasally.
Right.
And that kind of, what are they called? Like high tone or something? Wait, high lonesome sound.
Sure. And that's actually kind of related to the Irish tenor.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of the bluegrass songs came, as we said, from traditional English and Irish music, and the vocal quality of those sort of mournful Irish
keening.
Tenor
yeah.
songs translated into the bluegrass canon. And another like more practical reason for the vocals being high and nasal is that when a man sings high and nasal, it's projected louder and farther, and if you're singing to a whole barn that needs to dance, they got to hear you.
Especially over banjos.
They're loud
which
instruments.
Which are very loud.
Very loud.
Yeah.
So, let's get to it.
Yeah.
Thanon.
Yes, Scott.
Say your lyrics.
I will.
Okay.
I'm very excited
yeah?
to sing this bluegrass song.
Good.
This song is called Russell Crowe's Big Fast Boat. Anniversary to us.
Oh, it feels right.
Yeah.
It just feels right.
Russell Crowe's Big Fast Boat. So this is the fiction I am spinning here. I am imagining that the sailors aboard the San Agustin have Russell Crowe as their captain.
Yeah.
And he is a legendary captain, and they all have Southern accents.
Okay.
And that's kind of it. And they're like excited to be under like Crowe is like the guy that you want to look
guy.
For.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Here's a verse.
Okay.
Board that ship, off we go. Turn my back on my countrymen and kin. San Agustin and Captain Crowe, we're making history before we even begin. And the chorus is, we're on that fast ship, them big guns, them cannons going boom. We got that sail tall, that sea squall, crows a-coming soon. We feel that sea air, that sharp sun, salt that sting my skin. Them gulls stare, and time's rare, crow don't pass the gin. And then we can, like do a breakdown or whatever.
Brilliant. I love it.
It'll be really fun to sing, I think.
Yeah. I love it.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. And listeners, I think I'm going to throw in a special treat and maybe another special guest to this song. Here is Russell Crowe's Big Fast Boat, a bluegrass song by Shannon and Scott.
Them big guns, them cannons going boom. We got that sails all that sea squall. Crows coming soon. We feel that sea air, that sharp sun, salt to sting my skin. Them gulls stare and time's rare. Crow don't pass the gin.
So it must be, for so it is written, on the doorway to paradise, that those who falter and those who fall must pay.
Can you believe that Russell Crowe showed up?
Special guest star, Russell Crowe.
As Javert.
Came into my second bedroom and sat under my bed to record that for us.
Like, what a gentleman.
I know. And he brought the hat.
And he brought that tri-corner hat.
Which I think might
be surgically attached to his head.
Yeah, he can't take it off. It smells really bad.
We offered for him to take it off, and he was very adamant about leaving it on.
We offered to dry clean it for him.
Right. Yeah, we would have paid.
Nasty. Mm. Russell Crowe is in some deep trouble.
Yeah.
But he sang on our episode.
Our special one-year anniversary episode with special guest stars Megan Wasserman and Russell Crowe.
Megan
Now Wasserman Neglogauer and Russell Tricorn Crowe.
Megan Not Wasserman Neglogauer.
Oh, man. This episode had everything that you expect from Song Salad. Offensive accents, attempts at rap, musical theater, bluegrass.
Yep.
Like a banjo.
So many jugs.
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 It had jugs.
Not just mine.
I was waiting for you to say it. I didn't know how to say it in a tasteful way, so I just let you do it.
That's because there isn't a tasteful way to say it. Oh, untasteful jokes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there we go. So now it is complete.
Perfect.
But seriously, thank you to all of you who have been listening either just now, recently, or for the whole year that we've been in existence.
Shannon and I started this as a fun hobby project, and I really don't think we would have stuck with it if it weren't for the positive response that we've gotten from listeners, both friends of ours and strangers who are now becoming friends of ours.
Yeah, that's the really
cool
part.
It's really exciting. So we really deeply appreciate it and can't wait to keep making more.
And if you appreciate us, you can share the podcast. That's the best way people get podcasts. I feel like mostly from word of mouth of like what other podcasts your friends listen to. And it would be an honor if you shared us into your friends' ear holes. That would be so great. You can find us on Twitter at Song Salad Cast. We are getting down to the bottom of Nubia's salad spinner suggestions.
Yeah, we can definitely
Nubia
use more.
81. I said the right year this time. What? And so if you out there are so inclined, you can send us salad spinner suggestions and make Scott and I make really weird noises.
True. Exciting announcements. Look out for our press release.
We'll see if anybody publishes
it. If anyone publishes it. And we will be buying a little bit of advertising that we'll tell you more about once we know more about it.
Yeah. Thanks again. Sincerely. We make a goofy podcast, but we're serious people, and it means a lot to us.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're
Dolls
in the Darkness.
One, two,
big
three,
fast ship named sailing the ocean.
It's like amazing how he fits so many mashed potatoes into his mouth and still sings
and still
at the same
sings.
Time.
I know. It's an amazing technique, and we could all learn something.
Mm-hmm.